good morning. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez, your host this morning, because I have in the studio with me the gals from Garden Talk. We have Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
And Emily.
Good morning.
And Alyssa.
Hello.
Good morning. It's nice to have all of you here this morning, and we have a lot to talk about because it is garden time season just on the horizon. But before we get to that, let's hear the weather from the National Weather Service. Today, March 10th, we have currently 28 degrees. It felt warmer to me. But today, this is hard to believe, sunny, high of 66. I don't know what to say about that. Calm winds becoming south around 6 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, increased clouds with a low around 36 with light east winds. And then Wednesday through, it looks like Thursday night or Thursday day, we might have some precipitation, 60% chance of rain, high 54, low 40. And then again on Friday, mostly sunny, high 62. So there you go. Do
nice
what you
weather.
Need to do out in the good weather today and hope you enjoy it. So the other thing I want to mention this morning, it is voting day for our schools, and they have changed the voting places due to they don't want to have any conflict of interest. So no longer will you be voting at a school, but you can find out where your voting place is by going to www.voteourschools.org. It's all about the levy, today's vote. So just so you know, we want to remind our listeners of that. So again, welcome. I want to introduce you properly this time. We have Pat Wentworth from the Sandpoint Community Gardens.
Good morning.
Again, good morning, Pat. And you're just back from Florida.
I am. It's warmer here. Or it was warmer here than it was in Florida. I'm glad to be home.
Okay, that's great. And Emily Levine from Red Wheelbarrow Produce.
Hello.
Good morning. And I'm sure there's all kinds of little things happening out there on the farmland.
There are.
And we'll hear about that. And Alyssa Wads, board member of KRFY, we'll just mention that, but also very involved in the community school gardens through the Bonner County Gardeners Association.
Yeah, that's a new project for me this year.
And it's very nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
And also, brand new KRFY broadcaster.
Yeah, I've been DJing an hour of autos once a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun.
It's great to have you part of the KRFY broadcast team. So, what do we want to talk about? I know for me, one of the things I think about is that anyone can garden and how fulfilling and wonderful gardening is. So in our travels through the next 9 months, our once a month gardening talk series, those are kind of the thing, that's one of the subjects I want to make sure that no matter what, there's a way to garden so we can bring in gardening on a windowsill or whatever. But right now, what's happening out there? Any one of you can jump in and start talking.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Alyssa has been with the community garden from the beginning, and she was an integral part of the co-leadership of that whole group up until the new season, and she's off in doing other things also still with the community garden.
Yeah, I'll stick with you guys. No
yeah,
problem.
She's been just, she did all the bookkeeping, she did all of that, and it was really, you know, I was sorry to see her, you know, go on to other things, but she can do more good there because the community garden is pretty well established now. So,
well, since you mentioned community garden, let's just talk about that a little bit. It's sitting over there on Pine Street between Pine and Lake.
Yep.
And people can buy or rent basically
rent
a plot.
Mm-hmm.
And so how's that going this year? Are people signing up?
Yeah, we're 70% full at this point, and we usually sell out by May. So just to let people know, just Google Sandpoint Community Garden, and you'll go to the website. If you want to get a plot, they'll really start moving now. I'll be doing an article for the paper, and we haven't really done much advertising other than with existing plotters from last season, but we've gotten new plotters already, and so it's going to be another full season. So if you want a plot, you know, it's the 4x8s are $20 and the 7x7s are $25. And just go to get the forms from the website and send it in.
And what's that website again?
Well, it's easier. It's such a long website. Mm-hmm. Just Google Sandpoint Community Garden, and then it'll take you right to the website. And you get the forms, the application, send in the application and the money, and we'll get you a plot.
You know, the soil in those plots must be very high quality, because I would walk over there sometimes with my mother in the summer, and so much food was growing in a tiny little spot. It seemed like a small spot, but it was so productive.
Well, each gardener's really responsible for their own fertilizing and stuff, and what they do, I mean, it's all organic. You can't use any chemicals at all. And it really, you know, by luck sometimes, it's just the soil. I'm sure we need to, you know, refertilize and put in organic matter, and each gardener is going to find out about what to do with that. But yeah, we've been fortunate. We've had an extremely productive community garden. It's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and we do, I think, bring in manure from the fairgrounds.
We did. We'll do what we can, but each gardener really needs to get their own and figure out what they need to amend their soil with. There are many different things. But
yeah, I have a couple plots over there this season. I've gone from 6 plots down to 2 this year.
Yep.
So I still have a presence, but I usually use, there's Trace Minerals.
Yeah.
And I bought a bag and put it in the garden shed for everyone to use. You don't need a lot.
Is that the azomite? Is that?
Yeah. It's kind of like an azomite.
Okay. Or green sand also has a lot of trace minerals in it.
Yep.
Yeah, because I think we're on our 6th season
yes,
over there.
We're in
the
our
same
6th
soil,
season.
So you really need to amend it now.
Absolutely.
And at the at All Seasons Garden Center in Kootenai or Ponderay, whatever that is, you can buy amendments by the scoop, so you don't have to buy a big bag or whatever. You can just get as much as you need. So if you just have a 4x4 or whatever, you can get a cup of blood meal or whatever it might be. So
yeah. Perfect. Good thought.
And if you wanted a whole bag, I'm sure they would order it for you too.
Oh yeah. And you can get both.
And then the gardeners can share it. I mean, you know, that's everybody can share in that.
So if you have these bags of amendments in the shed, that truly brings that spirit of community, because anyone can use it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that goes to show one of the things I just mentioned is that if you don't have a yard that you can have a garden, you can have a little garden over at the community garden site.
You bet. And meet some cool people. I've met, I mean, Alyssa's become a very good friend of mine. And, you know, I've met so many different people throughout this whole community project, and people that aren't members, just people that say, hey, great, you know, that's, we really love the community garden.
Do you ever have community garden gatherings where, like a work day where people come together? Because usually when I go by and drive by or ride my bike by in the summer, there's usually one person out there kind of by themselves doing their thing. But wouldn't it be fun to have a garden party?
Yeah, well, we have what we call a play day, which opens the season, which will be, you know, probably towards the end of April this year, maybe a little sooner, depending on, you know, what this weather is doing. We could have it tomorrow. We have a play, what we call play day, where we get the garden ready, the soil, find out what we need, and everybody, you know, looks at their plots and weeds whatever they didn't get last year, and we fix the paths with the shredded bark so that it looks nice and all of that, and the city actually has moved the watering system, which I didn't realize they'd done that already, so because we were having trouble with some stuff a couple of years ago. And so it's basically ready to go. I mean, people can plant now if they have a plot. I mean, I'm planting peas and I'm putting in spinach and arugula today, actually.
So that's out at your house in Sagal.
Correct.
So that was my next question. And Emily, you have a large garden.
Yes.
How many acres? 1 acre?
Yeah, it's just over an acre, I would say.
I saw an aerial view of your garden in full bloom must have been from last summer. It's amazing how much you could put into that. Show up at the farmer's market every Saturday and Wednesday and just continue to produce food constantly all through the growing season. So what's going on out at Red Wheelbarrow Produce?
Well, yeah, like Pat said, with this early spring, I usually don't fall for early spring. I usually go like, whoa, now, all right, it's not going to last. But this one sort of seems to be sticking around. I still haven't planted anything outside, but I have a new greenhouse, a 25 by 85 high tunnel that was a really wonderful, generous gift from all of you. Thank you. Your tax dollars. There's a program through the NRCS, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is a federally funded grant program for high tunnels for local producers. So we were gifted one of those, and we got it up last August, and it's big and it's strong and it's really warm in there. And it's really great. So I have 7 85-foot beds in there, and so that's what I'm working on planting right now. If I had known we were going to have this kind of spring, I probably would have tried to plant even earlier, and in years to come I might overwinter some things, but for now I'm planting. I planted actually a batch of peas in the greenhouse. I have cilantro going and head lettuce and salad mix, things like that I'm getting going in my greenhouse right now. And then soon I'm going to start prepping beds outside for some early crops of carrots and getting ready to... I still won't plant most of my stuff in the garden until at least April 1st, just because I don't... You know, there's a... There's a point at which, like, yes, we could get things in the ground right now, but the soil temperature is still pretty low, mm-hmm. and the daylight, even though it feels longer because of daylight savings, it's still the same amount of daylight, is still relatively short. And so there's a point at which if I plant something, let's say today, and I plant the same thing in 3 weeks, those things are likely going to catch up with each other.
Right.
And so for me, I usually wait a little bit, but... what I'm working on mostly right now is plant starts. We're going to be doing a lot of plant starts this year for, so if you have a plot in the community garden or if you have a garden at home, it's a really good time to either be starting some seeds for yourself, if that's something you're interested in, which you can certainly do. Sometimes it's easier to let people who have the facilities do it for you. They're really affordable and we'll have, could list, but...
So that was one of my questions that was going to come up is mm-hmm. if I wanted to start my own seedlings, some of them, I couldn't possibly grow all of them in my little kitchen. They need more light than I can provide through the windowsill. So where can you go to find a lighting system and how does that work? How much light do they need right now, hours wise?
Well, I usually give my plant starts 12 hours of light, and, after 7 years of starting thousands and thousands and thousands of plant starts, I finally invested in a timer for my lights. And now that just goes on and off all by itself. It was $5.
Oh my.
And it changed my life. So now when I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, the light's already been on for an hour. And then when I go to bed, I don't have to worry about going over there and turning it off. But you can use just a regular fluorescent light.
Right.
You can get ballasts at a hardware store, and plants like a different, as many different spectrums of light as you can. You can't really mimic natural sunlight. I mean, you can buy a super expensive grow light and that's going to have the best balance, but for really cheap, if you buy, two different bulbs, so, maybe one that is like the quote unquote plant one or aquatic they have that is supposed to mimic natural sunlight, and then one that's another, like the soft white light, or they have ones that look kind of purpley and just two different spectrums, then usually from that plants can get what they need.
But right now, 12 hours.
Yeah, pretty much always 12 hours.
Yep. I do mine, excuse me, about 14 hours. And I put my ballast right down over the seedling.
Really so close.
Because they don't give off much heat, and... They seem to do really well. They don't get all that, what do you call it, leggy?
Leggy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so you can put those fluorescent lights down really close.
Now, do you use a warming mat?
No.
No,
I do them on my kitchen table, which is next to the stove.
Okay.
So yeah. They keep pretty warm.
And heat mats do make a phenomenal difference.
Yes, yeah. They do.
And they're just an electric mat that you can plug in that's waterproof. You can just put your starts right on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they sell them at the co-op in different sizes and... I mean, I have, you know, 4 or 5 of them, and I rotate through because when stuff goes on the heat mat, it germinates twice as fast.
Yeah.
So let's talk a minute about as they start germinating, they come up, you've got the two little leaves, and then the next group happens. How do you encourage them, these little tiny seedlings, to grow in the right way? Do you do any pinching, or when, at what point in time do you do something to them?
Usually, well, it sort of depends on what size pots you're using. I personally like to try to plant my starts into a pack that's going to be able to hold, withstand the size of the plant for a significant amount of time so that I'm not constantly potting up. So yeah, the cotyledons come up, and then the true leaves. You certainly don't want to move it until there's at least a couple sets of true leaves and some established roots, because they're going to get, you know, they want to be established little plants until before you pot it up. If you did pot things into really tiny little cells, then yeah, I would say as soon as they have maybe two sets of true leaves, then you could move them up. And some plants are better with being transplanted than others.
So you're saying that you start in a slightly bigger pot, that you could actually from that point take them to market?
Yeah. For example, my kale, lettuce, chard, broccoli, cabbage, everything in the brassica family, and then yeah, lettuce and chard, I start right in the packs that I'm going to plant them out from, because they only take about 4 weeks to grow, 4 to 5 weeks. And so for me, and I'm planting thousands and thousands, you know, of starts, I don't want to have to pot up thousands of starts. So I just plant them right in. Oftentimes I plant two seeds for each cell and then thin them down. Or I plant two seeds and then one seed and then two seed and then one seeds and then...
Those are some pretty small seeds when you're thinking about lettuce and spinach. But are some seedling roots more delicate and have a harder time being transplanted? Everyone's nodding here. No one can see that by listening. So which ones have are less likely to thrive once they're transplanted?
Well, things in the like carrots and parsley they have delicate roots. That doesn't mean, I mean, carrots, it's virtually ridiculous to transplant. I mean, I've never heard of anyone transplanting carrots.
Do you even start those?
No.
They're just
plant
right
directly outdoors.
Yeah. When the soil's warm.
But that family has delicate root system if you were to transplant. So parsley, I plant in soil blocks so that when I transplant them, I don't have to disturb the roots at all. But then the ones that I mainly think of that have really sensitive root systems are, in the like squash cucumber family. Mm-hmm. So cucumbers, winter squash, zucchini, melons. And you don't want to be starting those quite yet. It's a little bit early for that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You'd have gigantic things growing that just would stay there. We're talking about planting seeds in the ground or in a greenhouse, starting seedlings. This is 88.5 KRFY, and we're here in the studios this morning for the Garden Talk edition of the morning show, and we are glad you're listening. We have Emily, Alyssa, and Pat, avid gardeners, I'll call you. when we're talking about seeds, I think it would be fun to hear from each of you some of your favorite varieties. Say, take tomatoes or take lettuce because that's still early, or spinach. What are some of your favorite varieties, I guess you'd call it, of spinach, lettuce, you know, just pick a genre of vegetable. And what are some of the varieties? Because it really does matter. You get such a difference. We know now there's so many different kinds of even lettuce.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Alyssa turned me on as far as tomatoes go to the Brandywine. The difficulty with Brandywine is it's such a long season, growing season to get them ripe. But they're an heirloom, and they're just phenomenal. I mean,
they look hideous.
Oh, they do.
They
do.
Taste delicious. Yeah,
but they are really a fabulous. But they're what, 90 to 110 days or something?
Yeah, September is the earliest.
Yeah, so I am planting early ripeners this year. I mean, because last year it was very difficult to get tomatoes ripe. So, and I have a hoop house, which I do my tomatoes in a hoop house, but that and spinach, I do the large leaf spinach. I can't remember, I'm trying to think of the name that I use. You get a lot of it. Spinach is so prolific, you know, and it's, and arugula, those are the things I'm planting. Well, actually, I'm doing arugula and spinach right now. Today, I'm planting some outside, but I have a cold frame that I'll put them in.
So when you want your tomatoes, these long-growing brandy wines, 110 days, can you put them in a hoop house to help them ripen earlier? Is that 110 days pretty much their life cycle?
Well, that's put them in. I start them in, you know, I'll do starts and then put them in the hoop house. But a hoop house does not hold heat. And, man, you get any kind of frost and they're a toast. They don't ripen. You can, you know, you could put probably barrels of water, hot water and stuff in the hoop house. And I haven't done that. But to get them to ripen on their own, it's very, that's a tough one. That's okay. A tough one.
So Brandywine's one of your favorite tomato varieties.
It is. Mm.
How about you, Alyssa?
I love the Sun Golds. They're when they ripen, they're kind of a peachy gold color. And they're super sweet. And with the cherry tomatoes, you get them probably late July.
Yeah.
Through the end of the season. Yep. So it's a nice variety to grow here. This year I'm trying a new one called Blueberry. And it's one of those purpley cherry tomatoes, and it's supposed to be super sweet. So that's, I always try my established favorites, and then I try something new. So that's my new this year. It's the blueberry variety.
Mm, cool.
That's always such a hard question for me, the varieties. But one thing I want to say about it is that it does make such a big difference. Varieties, from my perspective, you know, as a commercial grower, it's amazing the difference that a variety can make of lettuce that can tolerate the heat in the summer to grow in the summer or not, the sweetness, the production of a cherry tomato, how well it holds in the field, if it's soft and if it gets to market and you put it in a box and by the time you get there, the ones on the bottom are mushy, or if they're firmer and have a nice juice. I mean, there are so many different things. And one of the things I want to say is it's a really good reason to buy plant starts from local producers, because we're selling you the plant starts of the varieties that we know and love and trust. So, you know, those are the seeds we have because they're the ones we grow, and we grow them because we know they work here in this climate.
So they're acclimated to our area.
Yeah, and they're acclimated to our tastes. You know, a lot of the more commercially produced plant starts, they might be choosing that variety because the plant start holds up well, right, instead of because the tomato is juicy and delicious. Or it might be, you know, for a million different reasons, but very few have to do with flavor or being acclimated to where they're going. They certainly aren't taking that into consideration. So buying from local producers is going to virtually guarantee good varieties. And we will be selling at our starts this year, also at Winter Ridge. So you can find some stuff there before the farmer's market opens.
So besides having a trial and error process to find the perfect varieties, our local area, and you can listen to Garden Talk because we're telling you right now some of those, and you can call us too at 265-2992 and ask questions, and we'll ask these avid gardeners here on air. I want to take a musical break just for a moment and then come back and talk about something that I need more information about. It's called GMOs. And so let's have a song by Gillian Welsh. Found out that's how you pronounce the name. It's called Winter's Come and Gone, and it is an appropriate song right now. And we'll be right back with more Garden Talk on 88.5 KRFY. And that was Gillian Welsh, Winter's Come and Gone. We're here in the studios of KRFY for the KRFY Morning Show at 88.5, and we have our gardening gal friends here. It's really fun. Emily, Alyssa, and Pat from various organizations and farms. We're talking about early gardening, what we can do, varieties of seeds. But I would like to have a little bit more information about GMOs. So my first question, and anyone can hop in on this, if I was to buy seedlings, my little tomato plants from, say, a commercial place, you know, that brings them in on big trucks, are those seeds GMO free?
I would say most likely yes. There's actually very few garden plants that that there are even established GMOs for. There's GMOs for corn, soybeans, canola, potatoes, now apples, but it's kind of like these big main crops. They're not genetically modifying kale and lettuce yet. So no, I would say it's unlikely, unless you're getting a potato or something that is maybe from the store that you're trying to start, that would be potentially, but very unlikely are you actually buying GMO garden starts anywhere.
So if I buy seeds at the grocery store,
also
just seeds.
Not GMO.
Okay.
Yeah. However, they could be produced by a company that is also producing GMO seeds. Your money might be going toward a company that is contributing to producing GMOs, but it's very unlikely that, or virtually impossible, that you're going to be growing GMOs in your garden.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing we're all organic gardeners here.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just go into that realm for a second. My mom asked me the other day, well, why do you buy everything organic? All your food's organic. What's the difference? And she said, I'm 88 and I'm healthy. I don't eat organic. I said, well, it's not just that. I like to support organic farmers. And what's the difference?
Well, I think it's the future. Is the difference.
It's also our past.
Yeah, exactly.
What we grew up on was organic. Yeah. It just wasn't called that.
Yeah.
And then we've gotten into agribusiness.
Agribusiness, right.
And the pesticides.
And what we, you know, at my age and the young farmers that are now, I mean, there are more and more young couples going into farming, which is fantastic, and it's organic. And it's about the future of the earth. The pesticides, the destruction of the earth based on what we've thrown into it is really the concern. I mean, yes, we breathe chemicals every day. I mean, how do we get around, you know, around this? Well, we don't very easily, but the more we do for ourselves and the less intake of things that are known carcinogens, that are known poisons, and the future of the earth becomes, you know, it's cleaning up this earth by gardening organically. Mm-hmm. So
one of the things that I just experienced, my son's been down in Chile working on farms, and it's woofing, and that's Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And he said, even the non-organic farms are the ones that aren't. He said, there's not hardly any pesticides used down there. Mm-hmm. He said, the water's clean, the ground is clean, it's just different. Hmm. And I don't know if that's been your experience or you've heard anything, but that's what he experienced down there.
I think Peru is one of the countries mm-hmm. that's banned GMOs for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm right about the time frame, but they're quite progressive. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the organic, first I should probably say, like, legally, to call it, if you're selling produce, the term organic, you have to be certified organic. In order to call your produce organic. So when you said, is everyone here organic? I have to technically say, no, I'm not certified organic. I do practice organic, as beyond the organic standards, but I can't put that organic label or stamp on my produce. However, we use all certified organic soil amendments, you know, potting soils and all that stuff, and no pesticides or herbicides. I feel like for me, organic is more of a mindset, like these ladies were talking about. And, you know, when you have large-scale production farming and you choose not to utilize pesticides and herbicides, you have to come up with alternative methods for keeping your soil healthy. And so organic is a method to keep things healthy without the use of chemicals. And that means a lot of different things. And for me, it means more thought and intention that goes into producing your food. So in addition to there being a lack of chemicals on your food and in the earth that it's being grown on and put into our waterways and put into our everything, you also have people who are having to come up with innovative solutions and putting more energy into producing that product. So, however, organic standards, when it comes to large scale production, are going down because more and more large companies want to sell organic food, and so they're lobbying for organic standards to be easier to meet. And so there are more and more slips in the certified organic label.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like buying from a local farmer where you can go and see, you know, as much as you can. I mean, it's not like nothing's 100% give or take. Growing your own food is, I think, the very best thing that you can do to know what's going into it, and what kind of work it takes, you know, to appreciate your food. But, you know, I think as much as you can in your life to buy from local producers and then to supplement with organic, or, you know, stuff that you feel good about putting in your body and your family's body is the most mm-hmm. important thing.
It's striving towards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not hard and fast.
One of the other things that we wanted to talk about is, since you mentioned the word soil a few minutes ago in this conversation, what can we be doing to our soil out in our garden plots right now, be it the community garden, mm-hmm. your own garden, a big farm or whatever? What are some of the things we can be doing right now since the snow is gone?
Well, I've composted all winter long. That's a great thing to do just in your backyard. And things don't break down, of course, when it's frozen. But as soon as it thaws, like now, the little creatures, microorganisms and worms, start coming up like crazy. Mm-hmm. I save all my eggshells. I use those. That's a little tip for tomato starts. They love the calcium. Mm-hmm. They love the minerals. So I crush a little eggshell at the bottom when I transplant my tomatoes into the ground. That's what I do, just personally in my house. I compost a lot.
Well, I'm using trace minerals. I use azomite that I put on actually last fall in the garden, and I just put in manure last fall too. Kind of that was already mature manure. It was not composted, but pretty much seedless and all of that. And I also use, you know, for different plants, there are so many different kinds of nutrients: blood meal, cottonseed, bone meal. Fish emulsion, which is a really good one. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a liquid that mm-hmm. you can, it's a foliar spray, although I don't like it because it gets on it. Yeah, yeah, it stinks.
So you could actually put that on now?
What,
the fish emulsion?
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't do it until, because you use it when the plants are growing.
Okay.
You can use it as a foliar spray or put it on the root system. But I've got the trace minerals, which is the azomite, in all my beds, because I think my soil was pretty well depleted and I hadn't been doing a whole lot. So there are so many different nutrients that you can add, and it doesn't need a lot of everything. I mean, you know, you just scatter it. I just scatter mine. I don't put it in each hole, but you can do it that way too. But there's, I mean, I go online, you know, I just go online. If you need some information, just Google, you know, what do I feed my tomato plants and when do I feed them? And, you know, what's the best fertilizer for this or that? And that's where I get the majority of my information other than this talk show. I mean, you know, really.
Yeah, I would say one thing you can be doing right now, if you're interested, is soil testing.
Yeah.
It's not vital for every garden. You can live a lifetime and never test your soil. And a lot of times you can learn from your plants what it seems like your soil needs. But if you're interested, now's a really good time to send in your soil and get it tested. And then you can know what your soil needs. So
right. Send it in where?
You can go to the extension office out on Boyer. And they give you a special little bag, and it has all the instructions that you need to gather different samples and mix them together and mm-hmm. Do whatever you're supposed to do. And then you bring it back to them, and they send it into the University of Idaho. And there's different tests you can get. You can just get, like, the three major nutrients. You can get...
which are NPK, nitrogen,
right.
potassium, and...
Phosphorus.
Right.
Other way, yeah. Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Potassium is NPK. But there, like Pat said, there's so many micronutrients and trace minerals that are important. And so I'd recommend learning a little bit about those and seeing if your soils are deficient or over efficient in any of them. And then, like Pat said, you can Google what kinds of organic fertilizers help to compensate for all those different nutrients. And this is a really good time to test your soil and amend it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just going to say there's a link to that on the Bonner County Gardeners Association website. They have instructions as well on the soil testing.
Good.
And the website is BC for Bonner County, bcgardeners.org. And then there's a link for services, I think.
I know that last year my garden really didn't produce as much or as vibrantly as I had hoped. I thought I put a lot of stuff on. I think I've come to the wall where it says test your soil.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for that information, because I know I'm going to go down that road pretty quick here.
The other thing you want to test is the pH of your soil.
Yeah.
And they'll come back with that.
So that's acidic or alkaline.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. That's really important, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Because if your pH is off, then then you might actually, if your plants aren't growing well, it might not mean you have a deficiency in nitrogen, but if your pH is too low, then oftentimes the nitrogen just can't be accessed. So, pH, and that will be included on any basic soil test.
And it can really make a difference.
Yeah, really
for sure.
It's like blueberries need acidic. Yeah, so they've got to have a low pH.
And I would imagine lettuce and spinach and things like that probably want alkaline.
Well, most plants want
6.5, 7, something
about
like that.
6.5, yeah. So, which is, and blueberries want like 5.5 or 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, it's not alkaline. It's closer to a neutral soil. But most soils are naturally a little bit acidic because, like pine needles and lots of different stuff is acidic. So, a manure can acidify a little bit. So, you want to find out what your pH is, and you can adjust with lime from
There's ways to correct it.
Easy.
For sure.
Very easy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. How about this? Can you stick around till 9 o'clock?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I thought we could take another musical break just for a few minutes and regroup. This is Steve Goodman, The Vegetable Song. Since we're talking about growing vegetables, I think it would be fun to talk a little bit about berries. I know we all love our berries. And we'll be right back with the morning show, the Garden Talk morning show, right here at 88.5 KRFY. This is Steve Goodman, Vegetable Song. And that was Steve Goodman, the Vegetable Song, as you could tell. This is 88.5 KRFY. We're here for the morning show, and it's the Garden Talk edition with Emily, Alyssa, and Pat. And I'm Susie Prez, your host. So let's continue. Part of what we're doing here and why we had Garden Talk all last year once a month is to really talk about vegetables, berries, plants, soil, food preparation, and how nature can nurture and enhance our lives. We also want to encourage people through this little discussion we have once a month to take up the shovel or the hoe or the hand trowel and have a little garden. And I was looking through a site, it's called Permaculture, and they do talk about people in New York City having gardens on their windows in little bottles and how encouraging that is.
The vertical garden.
The vertical garden
it's
thing.
It's wonderful.
And that we can have growing things that you can actually eat in any way, shape, or form. So I just want to mention that that's why we do this. And to get information that's exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. And I know last year, Emily and Pat, we had a moment in time in each show where we talked about food.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, food we could eat and what that looked like, basically recipes. And one of the things I thought we could mention today is, but before we get to that, we'll talk about food at the very end. Mm-hmm. Alyssa, I know you wanted to mention some workshops, and I know there's workshops. I know the co-op has workshops. They're all over the place, but you had some specifics.
Yeah, the Bonner County Gardeners Association has a home horticulture workshop series. They're, the first one's going to start next Wednesday. They're Wednesday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. You can go on our website, bcgardeners.org, and the first workshop is pruning. The next week is basics of irrigation. And then we have 2 weeks of beginning gardening workshops. Further on into late April and early May, we have potatoes, home orchards, and cooking with spring greens. So we have some really nice workshops.
Is there a cost for those?
Yeah, they're $10 per class. They're out at the Pondere Event Center.
Yeah. And again, that website is
bcgardeners.org.
So lots of information that's available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put that out to the community garden people as well, because it's just great stuff for them to go and and learn before they get into it.
Yeah, and you can go for 2 hours and learn tons from local gardeners, and the master gardeners really are the ones putting it on.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Did you have something to say, Emily?
Well, if we want to talk briefly about the farmer's market, I know it's a little ways away, but the planning season is well underway for the 2015 farmer's market at Sandpoint season. And the market, although it feels like it would be a great day to have a market on a sunny and 65-degree March Saturday, doesn't open until May. I think it's May 2nd. It's the first Saturday in May is going to be our first market. But if you're interested in selling at the market, you should go to the website, sandpointfarmersmarket.com. There's a lot of information on there. There are a lot of guidelines for our farmers market, so please be sure to read through the rules and see if you qualify to sell at our market. And then once we will be accepting applications, which are all online, at the end of March. And if you are interested, there's a spring membership meeting on March 31st at 6 p.m. at the Panhandle Health Conference Room, which is on Marion, over in the Panhandle Health building. So, yeah, if you are a new somebody who's interested in selling at our wonderful and ever-expanding market, then please get more information on the website.
One of the things I noticed last year at the market, a bunch of new farmers, young people, farmers.
It's wonderful.
I love the revolution.
Yeah.
Get back to the land.
It's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. There's some great, great young new farmers around.
And lots of variety. I mean, you could go to one and they'd have 10 varieties of something, but the next person down the line had a whole different group.
Yeah.
So somehow synchronistically it worked to have that happen like that.
We plan it that way.
You do. You network.
We do, actually. We have a really great network within our commercial growers. It's pretty awesome.
And talking about local food, all through the winter, we have a resource here. And you want to tell us about it, Alyssa?
Yeah. I'm a member of Six Rivers Market, and we're still around. We started in 2009. It's a way to access our local producers year-round, because we run the market every week. And right now, of course, we don't have a lot of fresh stuff, but we have the storage vegetables like potatoes and carrots and onions, garlic. And then we have all sorts of locally produced meats, grass-fed, organic feed. And we have eggs, and we have, we have a bunch of stuff. So you can check out the website at sixriversmarket.com.
And you pre-order, and then you just go pick it up. It's not like a storefront.
Yeah, it's an online farmer's market, and we're not a CSA. You don't get just a box of stuff, whatever's in season. You get to pick out what you want. So you just put whatever you want in your shopping cart, and at Monday evening when the market closes every week, whatever's in your shopping cart is your order, and you pick that up Wednesday afternoon. Yeah.
Where?
It's at DeLuna's, 207 Cedar Street.
So it's a self-designed CSA in a way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you pick it up from anytime from 3:30 to 6 at DeLuna's. It's really convenient. It's right downtown. And all of your things that you ordered from all these different local producers will be in one bag ready for you to go. You can pay online if you want. So you can just swing in and grab
your
bag.
And we have delivery, too. We do have delivery in town.
Oh, wow.
And I would say it's a good time if you haven't checked out Six Rivers. Usually the end of March, the beginning of April is when local growers start to get early spring greens, and they don't have other outlets for it yet because there's no farmer's market. And so that's going to be the spot to get your fresh spring greens in another couple weeks here.
Mm-hmm. So that means somewhere there's little tiny baby arugulas growing right now.
Yes, and spinach.
Waiting to go to Six Rivers
Local
market.
And kale.
And boy, we're all ready for that. Just saying. just for a moment, you mentioned CSAs. That's community supported agriculture. It's where you kind of join a farm as a membership. And I know a few years ago, many years ago, 10 years ago, I had a CSA farm. I was part of that. It was so fun to get my box of food because you never knew what you're getting. Are there any CSAs in our area now?
I think Green Tree Naturals.
Yeah, they have a small CSA. I believe that Winding Circle, oh, I'm sorry, they renamed themselves Four Peas Farm, has a small CSA. There aren't as many CSAs in town right now. I think Solstice Farms out of Bonner's Ferry has a small CSA they deliver. She's Green Tree Naturals. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a few. You should ask at the farmer's market or maybe Google it. Or there's also a really good resource is localharvest.org.
Or the co-op newsletter.
Yeah.
Or newspaper. It has usually has a page of local farms.
Yeah, they just printed that in the March co-op newsletter, all these different, all the different local producers.
I remember looking at that just recently.
Although we are not a ranch, which it said we were.
We're a ranch.
We have no cattle.
Do you have any animals on Red Wheelbarrow?
We have honeybees, and we might be getting some pigs this year because we bought some new property that needs to get worked up, and pigs are really good at that.
Just fence it in and keep them in, and
yeah, I would move them regularly so that
little
they
pens.
Yeah, well, pretty big, yeah, but yeah.
Well, I just want to say it's been really fun to have the three of you, Emily Levine, Alyssa Wads, and Pat Wentworth, here in the studios of KRFY for our very first edition of Garden Talk, and we hope that we can do this again. Tentatively, we're scheduled for April 14th. And you can look on our website for the morning show schedule, and that's krfy.org. So thank you so much, gals.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Gals.
And happy growing.
Yeah, happy growing. We kind of talked a little bit about the next edition of Garden Talk. Maybe we focus on a lot of things. We didn't even mention food this time, a recipe.
What a shame.
I know.
Or berries.
Or berries. Right. Two things we were going to come back to. Well, we probably have time for one quick recipe. What are we eating right now?
I'm making smoothies right now.
Okay.
I usually, I pick all my fruit in the summer and I freeze a lot of it and then I save it all winter and I try not to make too many pies so that when it gets hot out, my lunch is a smoothie. And that is what I've been doing for the last week.
So what do you put in your smoothie?
I put, let's see, yesterday it was peaches from Cliffside Orchard, strawberries from our farm, and huckleberries. And I put cashews and coconut milk and cocoa powder, which is my little decadent treat. And
any sweetener?
No, just the fruit.
Just the fruit sweetener?
The fruit is good enough sweetener.
Those
for
peaches from Cliffside that come into the market, we are all so happy to see them every year.
We'll see.
So smoothies, folks. Thanks again for coming in. We're going to mention a few things that are coming up on the KRFY Morning Show. This Thursday, March 12th, you can join Morning Show hosts Jack and Jim is back. And their guest will be Bill Collier. He's the author of The Adventures of a Helicopter Pilot. That's at 8 o'clock at 88.5 this Thursday. And next week, Tuesday, March 17th, you can join Chris Bessler and myself. Our guest will be Kirk Miller, renowned local photographer, starting at 8. And then at 8:30 or so, our second guest will be Mel Dick and Brad Williams, organizers of the upcoming Chafe bike ride. So you can tune in next Thursday. We have, and you can always go to our website and look at the KRFY Morning Show schedule, which is posted there. I wanted to leave our garden talk for just a moment with this quote. It's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. When I go in my garden with a spade and dig a bed, I feel such an exhilaration and health that I discover that I have been defrauding myself all this time in letting others do for me what I should have done with my own hands.
Very
cool.
Nice.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
That's a good one.
We have just a few more minutes. couple things that are happening in our community. And you can go to the Sandpoint Online website or a KRFY.org to find a whole calendar of events that are coming up. Tonight, there is a 24 Hours for Hank fundraisers at the Ponderay Winery at 301 Cedar Street. It's called a Sip and Shop fundraiser from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it will help raise money for awareness of cystinosis research. A portion of all sales will go directly towards this fundraiser. This is a family-friendly event, and you can call 265-8545 for more information. It's also trivia night at McDuff's. That starts at 7 p.m. and goes to 9 p.m. And you can call 255-4351 for more information about that. I know, Alyssa, you go to that sometimes.
I'm a substitute on a very serious team.
Me too.
We're on the same.
On the same team?
Yeah.
Oh, we should go together sometime. They are very serious.
I know.
But we win sometimes.
I was invited and I hesitated too.
Oh, yeah. You should have come that night. We were missing
It's fun.
And also tonight, The Kite Runner, American Place Theater's Literature to Life performance of The Kite Runner, adapted from the stage from the novel. It takes audiences on a heartbreaking journey of friendship and betrayal in a society of severe class division. That's presented by the Ponderay Arts Council. It begins at 7:30 p.m. at the Heartwood Center. And you can call 263-6139 for more information. If I look at this just right, we're almost to a point where I can say that on this day in 1975, John Lennon released a song. It's Stand By Me. And I think we should go out with that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty nice song. I hope you have a beautiful day. Thank you so much. We'll be right back here with Garden Talk on April 14th. Until then, get your hands dirty. It's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. This is John Lennon, Stand By Me. And enjoy the rest of your day.